Just tomorrow, I'll bring for everyone.
What?
Tomorrow, I'll bring for everyone.
You'll coordinate with Shua. Okay. Yeah. Do we have a full list, pretty much? Do we think?
I gave it to Yomi Zolti.
Yeah, no, he gave it to me. So I'm saying, is that really? Okay, no. So do me. I'll start calling it maybe Thursday, because I want to get moving on some of the issues today. But if we could just, you know, look around to see. Do you want me to give it to you to look around, see if there's anybody who's going to be? Or is there any point to that? Okay. And then I want to start calling them, and we'll also start try on Thursday already to start setting up some of the, you know, shorter meetings just to meet, you know, the new people. And the veterans can come by and we can set up time through them as well. Okay, so I'm just going to give this to you, sure, just to, you know, look around and see.
Double check.
Yeah. Okay, so it's because somebody told me there were a few people who were into yesterday. I put Isaac on the list. We know he's coming back, right?
Hey, I think it's Thursday. I'm not holding my breath for anything.
No, I saw you tilted your head a little bit. You know. Okay, good. So the first topic that we've been doing, as you can see, we've done it. We've discussed it in very general terms. You know, we've noted that number one, this is an issue that every legal system needs to contend with. We've talked about the tendency of different systems, especially one which, you know, is either more idealistic or more focused on the opportunities of a society and of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh type halachos, but, you know, balancing against kabod and zilzul on the one hand and being misarev b'riv lo on the other. And things of that sort. So that's what we've been discussing. And we've noted that almost all of the Monei HaMitzvos count the Chovas Haggadah as a requirement. We'll see exactly how they formulate it. But that's particularly interesting since there is no clear Pasuk at all. And again, the Bali Tosis, we'll discuss this a little more, had to come up with very interesting parshanut of their own, basically, a hachikamar, which the Rajba disputes. The Rajba came up with a different solution. We'll talk a little bit more about that today as well, meaning that it's a kind of an implicit Chovas Haggadah, but one which doesn't really have a makar. It's just implicit in other things. That itself is just an interesting phenomenon. We have such things here and there, like, you know, getting, you know, towards the Yom Nerayim and Yom Kippur, right? The lav of Yom Kippur is like a phantom lav in a sense. Like there's no explicit lav, it's, you know, implicit. So it's just an interesting phenomenon when you have that kind of thing. According to the Rajba, that's really what it is. Even according to the Bali Tosis, again, it's not Mefurish Bakra, and it's an implicit parshanut. So that is interesting. We also noted Rav Sadia Gaon and Bahag, who omit it, but can't deny the Chovas Haggadah, because that's too entrenched in other Makaros. So it sounds like it's like Rav Yochum Fischel Perlo suggests, it sounds like they hold that there's a Din Klali of some other type, Gnilus Chatzadim, on the positive side, maybe Lassam and Damracha. We'll discuss those more fully in just a couple of minutes. And then mostly what we were trying to figure out was that even if, you know, certainly if it's a klali idea, and even if it's a prati idea, what is the nature of this halacha, right? The more klali it is, the more it's about other things. It's not about edus per se, edus just is an example, it's a hechetimtzi of other things. But is it possible that there's something special about edus and the chovas ha-edus? And that also brought us to the question of discussing a little bit, something which we'll talk more about, the relationship between the three major components in the Beis Din system, the Balei Dinim, who share a pasuk, according to the Gemara, with the Edim. Yoni brought to my attention that if you look, you know, Pshuto Shel Mikra also, Va'omdu Shnei Anashim Bedin, right, you know, most of the surrounding psukim are about Edos. So when the Gemara here says in Shavuos Lamed Amalek, Be'edim HaKasav B'daber, together with Balei Dinim, that there's a very strong case to be made for that, even reading Torah Shebe Ksav itself. But that's the relationship between Bali Dinim and Edim, one issue. The relationship between Edim and Dayanim, of course, the other issue, and we have to keep our eye open to that. The more we think that there is a special obligation of Chovas Haganas Edus, let's say, that isn't about broader themes like Milas Chasadim and Lasamad Al Dam Reacha, the more it implies that you know the role of Edim is you know not just you know a technical one, you know they provide information, you know that helps solve cases or helps the Dayanim come to a decision, but that again we look at them as having you know a particular kind of role. And that might affect many aspects of Eidos. You know, some of the, you know, components of Eidos that are not at all simple or obvious. And we've touched on some, but we'll make a list as we go forward. So is this an Eidos halacha with its own Gzeres HaKasuv and its own dinin? Maybe it doesn't even qualify, you know, for things like Olsamod or even Gemilas Chasadim. Or another way to say this would be, maybe it qualifies, but only because of the chiyuv of who aid im lo yagid ben asavon. That's what makes it qualify. It's a special din, or no, not really. It really is a more specific of the others, and so on. And part of this question is a question whether or not we look at the chiyuv hagada as being directed klape the person who needs the edus. That works particularly well, obviously, in Dine Mamonis, better than Iser, although not impossible in Iser either, and especially to the person who benefits from the Eidos, as opposed to the person who is adversely affected. Again, the Rambam consistently emphasizes both sides of it. The more we look at it in terms of, you know, Mamon or Garmi or the more that position makes sense. On the other hand, if we think that there's a broader din in supporting the legal system, being a good halachic citizen, right, just being an aid per se, it's a chiyuv haTorah, you can call it a, you know, klape shmaya or just klape the system, then, you know, you could extricate these issues from grumma, from, you know, who benefits, and so on. Okay, so what I want to do now is just go through some of these specific makor. We've talked generally about how this might work, and now just to go through some of the specific makoros and just, you know, extract from them, you know, information relevant to this question, as well as some other ha'aros, you know, that come up, agat. So let's begin with Sanhedrin, because that is certainly, you know, the most. That's a Mishnah, and that's, you know, in a way the most explicit source. According to many Rishonim, even Bava Kamma, right, is drawing in a way on Sanhedrin. So let's talk about Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Amud Beis for a few minutes, and then talk about you know the Sifra and Bava Kamma, and then the Shitas on Rishonim. And then we'll get into some actual concrete nafkamina about, you know, cases where maybe we're not dealing with formal edus, but we are dealing with impact, or we're dealing with formal edus where there's no impact, the relationship to carbon shvuas edus, etc. So that's the plan. Okay. So let's start with Sanhedrin, as I said. Before I do that, I can do a hashava saveda.
That's going to be madness.
Okay. Not because of his halamta connection. So he can do it for a while. But and I have a lot of, like, Edom. Okay. So Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin, and thank you, by the way. Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, an important sugya. You want to just go over for us very quickly, Micha?
Yeah. Inside?
Yeah. So what's the context?
Saying about how you intimidate Edom.
Iyum of Edom. And not any Edim, that's what's also interesting here, but...
Edim Nefashos.
Yeah, and that's a little surprising, given, you know, what we know the Mishnah is going to say, Why is it a little surprising?
Because we think we want to limit it to mamonos.
Because we might have thought that the whole din of who ate a raw yada, certainly the parsha when it comes to korban shvuas ha'enus, is limited to mamonos. So the fact that iyum of edei nefashos, right, draws upon this makar, right, is very interesting, right? It's very striking. Right, we would have thought that, you know, that you could be mechalek for several reasons, right? Number one, as I say, the parsha of Korban Shvua, which is the main pasuk before you get into the implicit or the extra parshanut of the Bali Tosis and so on, is talking about dafka dine mominus, right? Moreover, you might say that, you know, even if and the Tziv has a suggestion, although he doesn't think it's true for the Shiltos, but the Tziv makes a suggestion in his parish on the Shiltos, even if it's true that there's a chi of Haggadah Seidus, Bein B'Mominus, Bein B'Nefashos, one could easily have said, what, David? Forget about the Netziv for a moment. Just me Svara, what could you be easily... There's a chi of Haggadah Seidus, Bein B'Mominus, Bein B'Nefashos.
And that's why I think that the Shiltos both did himself.
Then who says that they're the same, based on the same pasuk, are they really even the same did, right? One could have said that really, we'll talk more about this, but then Tzid makes his suggestion, he just points out it doesn't work with the Shiltos, right? Because the Shiltos seems to merge them together. One could have said that in Dine Mamanis, you know, it's for the Parsha of Behu Eid, Ora Yada, Mlayagid Ben Asavon. Oh, after all, that's what the Korban Shvua Parsha is about. But maybe in Dine Nefashos, you know, it's a different concept entirely. Especially, could be based on, we'll see, maybe this works for the Rambam, we'll see, on Lo Samen Odam Re'echa, right? In other words, just in analyzing the whole thing, right, there are good reason to be mechalek, right? If the mechayev is a kind of grumma, if you take like the context of Bava Kama Nunvav, which is, you know, grumma and hefsin mamon, so it's, we can make a case that that doesn't apply in the fashos, right? At least not gromas mama, right? Obviously, it can be kol shekein and worse. But certainly, if we're talking about, you know, to persecute rather than to you know, to save his life, right? Then you know, the mechayev of hefsed in general may not, you know, apply. So it's. That's number one. Number two, I mean, the parsha itself, the mechayev. According to the Rambam, as we know, we'll discuss this more fully, right? The Rambam was mechadesh, that not only korban, you know, shvuas ha'edus, but chiyuv hagadas ha'edus, aryeh, that we're mechalik between mamon and iser, with regard to tviya, right? That's something... Everybody's trying to figure out, and we'll discuss that more fully also. We're going to try to pin down each of these things more specifically now. Where did the Rambam get that from? What's his makar? What's the significance of it? But, you know, one, again, that could have fed into the narrative together with the other points that there are, you know, even if there are, you know, even if there is, I'll say, a chiv ha-gadas edus b'nefashos and a chiv ha-gadas edus b'mamon, they don't necessarily have to be the same. There are differences between them, and maybe the different makoros and different mechayvim, right, establish two different dinim. So the fact that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, in the context of Iyum and Nefashos, right, quotes v'hura yada to teach you that, you know, you can't say, you know, I'd rather be, you know, uninvolved, is important. Yeah.
If it's a chiyav MS or a chiyav tzitzis, there wouldn't be much room to be mechalek.
Right, 100%. You could also say that it just affects, you know, even if the mechayev is klape the you know, people, there's good reason not to be mechalek also. You could say kol shekein and so on and so forth. But I totally agree. If you owe it to the system and to be an aid, then this should be something across the board. So it actually feeds that impression. As do many other things, as we'll point out. I'm just pointing out that already we should note this, and we should. If you're quoting the pasuk of Korban Shvuos Eidos, which is Dafka B'Mamon, to explain why Iyum Dinei Eidei Nefashos, you know, is Malanu Ulatzara Hazos, applies. So that just a ha'ara that it's so. It's also interesting to note the Girsaos, and this you just have to check with the Rishonim. What's the Girsa here, Micha?
And we have
in Sanhedrin.
Who aid Ora Oyada Im Lo Yagid the whole.
Im Lo Yagid v'Chu. So you have the whole thing.
Yeah.
It starts with Im Who aid Ora Oyada. Well, so let's for you know purposes of convenience for the moment, let's just say the following about the pasuk itself. And again, there's a lot of ambiguity in all this, but I at least want to raise it, right? Who aid Ora Oyada? You know, certainly, you know, focuses on what's called, you know, the mitzvah saseh aspect of it, right? The chiyuv to be an aid, right? If you were to isolate it. The im lo yagid v'nasa avono, you know, in theory, if you want to zero in on that and emphasize that, could be a lav, right? Im lo yagid v'nasa avono. Both the lav formulation. Again, it's hard to know about, you know, im lo yagid, because, and this is something which we find in halacha in other places too, right? In other words, when you have an action that's a maisa avera, you know, that you do, you know, don't kill, don't steal, you know, and so on, lo sigzo, lo signovu, right? Lo sirtach, you know, so. It's clear that you're dealing with a kum va'aseh that you're not allowed to do, right? Occasionally, there are ambiguous categories, you know, as categories, and that carries over linguistically, where it's hard to know whether we're dealing with a ma'isa aveira b'kum va'aseh, lav, or something that just looks like abstaining, right, Sheval Taseh, from doing something, right? If you don't show up to the Beis HaMikdash, you know, for your obligation, your Chovas Re'iya, right, are you, you know, staying away? Are you not coming? Or are you absenting, you know, yourself? It's a very subtle line, right? Or Bia Rekanis, the other way. You know, if you come to the Mikdash, you know, without a proper korban in your hand, so is that a, you know, a bia asura, right? Or is the reikonis part, you know, the emphasis, and it's a sheval tasa in a way, meaning it's not having brought the korban in your bia, which is the problem, right? If you don't come for, you know, to bring the korban Pesach, you know, we consider that to be a mitzvah aseh sheish bakaris, right? But you know, is it that, or is it more than that, or is it avoiding chadal, right? He dafka, you know, absents himself from the korban pasach. So too, again, this, in all these cases are discussions and issues. Are the, you know, are we talking about labin or essen in some case? If it is a lab, is it a lab sheish b'maisa or lab sheim b'maisa? Is it dafka like a lab, you know, b'shev al taisa? Right, it's very tricky. So too, im lo yagid v'nasav, oh no, right, is meaning what? Meaning he, sometimes we call it kvishas, the Rishonim call it kvishas edus, suppressing edus, not testifying. So is that a kumbase, or is that a sheval tasa? Are you not testifying, or are you not testifying?
If there's a shu at hand, would that change it possibly?
Possibly. Possibly. So this is an interesting question in general about im lo yagid. So let me say two things. Number one, just to, you know, because there are no secrets, you know, among us here, right? So I think one of the things I've said in the past, and I'm going to say again because I believe in that, and that is that when you have this fine, subtle line, like a mitzvah saseh sheish bakares, or a you know, a lav, you know, b'shev al tasa, or a, you know, a kumbaseh that looks an awful lot like it might have been a sheval tasa. When you have this kind of, you know, on the border category, the conceptual, the way that you look at it conceptually matters a lot. And part of that story is how urgent, how much of a chiyuv, and what that chiyuv, to do things, what that chiyuv's effect really is. So, in other words, if you look at like the performance of mitzvos as opportunities, that you're supposed to do this, and you don't, so you abstain from doing it, and that's, shev al tasa. But if there are certain actions that are so urgent, that neglecting them is an act of neglect rather than an abstention, from the performance of your duty, again, those are very subtle differences. It's hard to say them because they're very proximate categories, and it's a gray area what pushes one into the other. But all what I'm suggesting is that the greater the expectation, or whatever that it is that makes greater urgency in a particular case, that can be the difference. And as you just correctly pointed out, for example, if you do it al yaday shavua, maybe even the imlo yagid part, it's not just the shavua, maybe that does something to the imlo yagid. But what I am trying to say is that the greater the chova, to be made, the more you can even look at it as a kind of imlo yagid, not just imlo yagid situation. So it's just very interesting that when we quote this pasuk for Chovas Haggadah, what part of it do we quote? How are the Rishonim counting, the ones who count Chovas Haggadah Seedus as a mitzvah in the Minyan Taryag? Are they really focusing on it as mostly an asay and a lav? Are they, for example, if you want to only quote it as an asay, in theory, right, you could have just said, V'hu eid or ra'yada. We'll see different formulations. Just give me a couple of minutes. In the Rishonim themselves. Even in the Rambam, it seems in different places. And I think the Rambam is directly actually discussing this question. If you limit to V'hu eid or ra'yada, and the idea is not just a description, right, of the reality, but it's like an imperative, just like ki yikach ish isha, we talked about last year when we studied Kiddushin, right? Ki yikach ish isha is a description of what takes place, according to the Rosh, let's say. Or ki yikach ish isha is an imperative, when it happens, right? So vihu eid or ra yada, if that doesn't just mean, this is who he is, and then im lo yagid v'nasa avono, but rather, v'hu eid or ra'yada, he's supposed to be an aid. He's an aid. And that means, aiding in both senses, right? In the Hebrew and in the English. So that's one thing. If, on the other hand, you think that it's really more like a lab, and it's an imlaya, it's kvishas edus, not I hagada, but kvishas ha'edus. I'm not saying whether you use the word kvishas edus dictates this. You understand what I'm saying? Then you're going to emphasize the seifa. What's particularly interesting is that in theory you could say v'hu eid or ra'yada asay, v'im lo yagid v'nasa avono is also a lav, right? I'm guessing I still didn't get a chance. Where's Ali? Is he here?
Yeah.
Is that what the Rashbat says?
Why?
How does he have the lav?
Lav v'im lo yagid v'nasa
avono. And he has the asay is v'hu eid. Even though he also mentions Vam Dishne Nashim Vedim, right? As we discussed. But he also quotes Hu Eid, right?
I remember which part of the passage he
quoted. What?
I don't remember.
Okay, well, we'll try to look it up. The point is, all I'm saying is that you, in theory, you could have just the... certainly, Hu Eid or Roy Yoda is an asay. Im lo yagid v'nasa avono, in theory, could be a lo sase. In theory, you could have both then.
Shua brought up, yeah, he does quote.
Bu'ed. Right. So the way the Rashbat, that's what I thought, the Rashbat is, I just didn't remember the Vam Dishne Nashim part, which he is supporting it with, but basically he's reading the pasuk as saying two different things, right? There's an asay and there's a lav. How do other Rishonim interpret it? So they may think that it's basically a lav, and it's introduced by Bahu Eid or Ra Yada. That's a condition. Or they may think, and this is very, both are very intriguing, because would you think that being obligated to be made Bebezdin, not being made, would be a lav? Again, it seems like it's an abstention, a sheval tasa, not, you know, and if, okay, but maybe it is. If it's an asay, buhu eid ora yada, so that this is also two possibilities. So you could say, well, the second half of the pasuk, im lo yagid ben asav ono, refers to the korban shua part. That doesn't necessarily also refer to the chofes hagadah part. Right? If it does, and it's not establishing only a lav or an asay and a lav, but really we retain the idea that it's an asay, right? So then something else spectacular emerges, and that is what we're being told is that in this particular asay, it's not just that you squandered the opportunity to fulfill an asay, but that by squandering this particular opportunity, right, you are no say avon. It doesn't say about a typical, if you don't sit in the sukkah or take the lulav, right? No one says, you're no say avon. Right? If you don't eat matzah on Pesach, no one said you're no say avon. So are we saying that if you pass up, the obligation, the duty, right, to be an aide, that you're no say avon? Wow. And certainly if you say that, nefesh ki sechata, like the shiltos, that sechata, is the makar, right? So again, I'm not, then he goes on to say what he said. We'll talk about it in just a couple minutes. What I'm trying to suggest is on two levels. Number one, just reading the psukim in light of these Gemaras, which say that this isn't just about Korban Shua. The Rajba aside for the moment, or for the Rajba, it's implicit, but that's fine. Let's assume that for the Balei Tosis and the other Rishonim who think that this is the Makar, right? So it's the real Makar. So is it an Asay, but there are two possibilities. It's an Asay, and Im Lo Yagid Ben Asa Avono is in the Korban Shua section. Then it's a typical Asay, as far as that is concerned. In the Gemaras, aside from the fact that you have the Gomer here, okay, in Sanhedrin, there's nothing that particularly establishes, even if you're going to quote Buhu Eid or Yada, that the second half of the Pasuk has to go on the Chofes HaGadah, not on the Korban Shua. What we will see is that many Rishonim, even the ones who seem to be focusing on the Asay, on Buhu Eid or Yada, do connect to Im Lo Yagid V'Nasa Avono, even though it isn't a lab, as a kind of extra chomer hadavar of the Rambam, for example. We'll read it inside soon. And Sefer Mitzvahs Kufayin Ches says that explicitly. The Chinuch, following the Rambam, we'll read that inside also, says that explicitly. So you basically have, if you're going to interpret the Hu'ed or Ra Yada as an Asay, you basically have three possibilities. There are two, like the Rashbats, the Hu'ed is an Asay, and then Imlo Yagid Ben Asav Ono is a lav. Now, of course, that also tells you that something unusual is happening. Where do we find, if you eat matzah, if you pass up matzah, you violate an asay and a lav, or sukkah, or tkiya shofar, right? That's already very unusual to say that there are both demon. If all we're saying is that there's an asay and the second half goes on Korban Shavua, that's much easier to explain. If it's a lav, then the fact that this is a lav is very shocking. Yeah.
We found plenty of times in Chumash that Rashi says that a pasuk leading asay, a los asay, or the opposite way around, that you have like both an asay and a los asay.
Well, Gemara asay,
right.
L'chai, that, but usually there's so that is either a real. In general, when we find an asay and a lav on the mirror on the same issue, this, of course, is a very big in issue. You have it a number of places, right? The Gemara says it about the asay and the lav of Shabbos, right? In Kuf Yudalid, Knivas Yarek, again, another soon-to-be Yom Kippur halacha, too, right? The Gemara says in many places, lav or lav, either b'shnei lavin or b'lav asay, right? So typically, there are two ways to approach that. Okay, one is, and again, this is a very big discussion in Minyan HaMitzvos, and you know, particularly the Rambam and Ramban and the Shirashim argue about this, and the you know, of course, Rabbi Fishel Perlow and Sefer Mitzvah Sajagon is very, very into this whole idea. Like, if there's an Asay and a Lav, should you count both? And if you count only one, which one should you count default? Like, these are all interesting issues. But again, to make the story shorter, let's just say the following. Sometimes, or in some cases, this reflects Chomer Hadavar. And that's what some of the Rishonim say this. I mean, there's an Asay and a Lav. If there are no Nafkaminas and there are no two Machaibin, then it's because it's a reinforcement. Whether it's a lav being reinforced by an asay or an asay being reinforced by a lav, you know, that I think that you have in both directions. And if you have to count one, let's say you're going to count the main one. That's where Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlow, I take a little bit issue with him because he thinks Rabbi Sajagon has across the board, like, you know, one view. They always take the asay. I don't think that's the case. I think it depends conceptually, which is the main one, but that's not for now. But it basically, Lav Rav B'Shaim is a chizuk in one direction or the other. I always prefer to think, and in many cases it certainly is the case, but probably not in all cases, that if there are two Lavin, or Lavin and Asay, it's because there are two Mechayim. And of course, if there are Nafkamina, that will highlight it. But I don't think that there necessarily have to be Nafkamina. I'm not of the school that says if you can't find a Nafkamina, then, you know, there aren't necessarily two concepts. So, more important is the values of the concept. So maybe there's no nafkamina, or maybe we're not, you know, don't have sufficient ingenuity to think one up, which is a different point. But the point of asev alav, or two lavin, is that even though there's a tremendous, maybe even there's an absolute overlap, there are two ideas here. And the Rambam says that balyura, balyimatze, whenever one, you know, do one, it violates the other. You know, when he counts them twice, even though he says you can't have one without the other, I believe what he really means is that there are two different ideas in Balyura Bayimatze, even though each one triggers. So, in our case here, just to make it more concrete, what we're asking is this more of an asay or more of a lav? Is it more of a duty and an obligation to the system and so on, or is it like an egregious, you've slapped either the person in the face or the system in the face? Okay, the bigger chiddush, what would you have, you would have expected if there's going to be something here, it's going to be an asay, it's going to be a shebal tase, asay, and so on. If all of a sudden it's a lav, or if there are shnayim, or if there's an onesh for this particular asay, nesias avon, right, that definitely establishes at minimum that it's more chamor, and maybe even more than that. Okay, that's really the idea behind. So, just getting back, our girsa in Sanhedrin is, it starts off v'hu'ed ora yada. The girsa that we have is im lo yagid v'nas v'gomer. It does continue. But it's hard to know which is, let's say, ikar, and we'll get back to that in just a second. Okay. Yeah, Avram, you had a question?
There's a beautiful official prayer I'll say that about the Rambam here, but he just always counts it despite having no Nafkamina.
Well, he thinks that the Rambam, and generally, I think he holds that the Rambam and Shabbat could go the opposite on those questions. The Rav Sajagon counts Essen whenever there's a Lavin and the same, and that the Rambam always counts Lavin when they're the same. So
I thought he counts both.
Who?
The Rambam. No, he only counts.
You talk about
is
here?
This question about, on the Rambam about Sheikh Sisbona, that why does the Rambam only count the Lav and not the Asay? Doesn't the Rambam always count both?
The Rambam does count. No, yeah. He said, typically the Rambam will count both.
Right.
Rav Sajagon will only count one. I'm sorry, yeah. He said, typically the Rambam counts both. Rav Sajagon counts one, the Asay, and I think he thinks that the Bahag, I think,
counts
one, but will count Lavs. I think that's what he ends up saying. But what he says for this particular case, we'll get back to. Okay. So the if you look at the Rambam here, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, in this context, what does Rambam quote? Which part of the pasuk?
Which part?
Yeah. He doesn't have the rest of it, which is interesting. Okay. And we'll see that sometimes he doesn't, sometimes he doesn't. In Perek Aleph, what does he have in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph? Yeah. Yeah, you have it there, just quickly. Yeah. Aleph Aleph. Right. So yeah, even though he's clearly only counting here, at least, as a mitzvah saseh, right, in the koteret and in the language in halacha aleph. Although again, he says, what's the language of the Rambam? It's just an interesting thing to point out anyway. Just let me, yeah.
Which part? In Enos?
Yeah, Enos aleph aleph for a second. Start again.
From the very beginning?
Yeah. Mitzuvin. Yeah. I just want to contrast that with a little bit, just to look at Halacha Dalet for a second. Aleph Dalet, where he talks about Drisha v'Chakira.
There he says, Mitzvah Aseh.
Yeah. Now again, I don't know, I haven't gone through, you know, sometimes it's just a Melitza is a Melitza, it doesn't really matter. But I think it's interesting that, you know, v'Darash v'Chakira, the psukim are written as a Mitzvah Aseh. Drisha v'Chakira. Mitzvah Aseh. As we know, v'hu eid or ra, whatever it is, it may be the makar, right? But, and you therefore could say mitzuvin, but it's not an explicit makar. It's hard to say mitzvah saseh. And in Sefer HaMitzvos, on Kufayin Ches, the Rambam says, v'hu va v'chachamim heviu divrayim. We'll get to the whole thing in a language a little bit later on. The Rambam sounds very tentative or reticent in Kufayin Ches about this pasuk. Yeah, Ellie?
Yeah, the Mishpat actually points that out.
The who?
The Kanan of the Mishpat.
Never heard of it. Okay. Nice. Do you want to keep going with this? Or we'll play a game, you know, until I recognize somebody?
No, so he asked
a
question. How can
the
Rambam say Mitzuvah is different than all the other
Mitzvahs?
Like,
oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. Good. We'll put him on the team then. What's his name?
I think
whatever he is, he's thinking in a good way. Okay. Yeah. Is he like, you know, Noah, is he related to you? Yeah. No way. Is he?
No.
Okay. I figured, you know, but he could have been, right?
Yeah.
He could have been. I got it. Okay. So, yeah. So good. So that's a good heart. So I think that it's not a coincidence that the Rambam is playing a little with the psukim, that he, you know, quotes him a little bit. Sometimes he quotes the whole thing. Sometimes he quotes Mikzas. In Sefer Mitzvos, you have that line in Sefer Mitzvos where he says, Chachomim heviu raya. Anybody have that? Kufayin Ches? Yeah, go ahead. Right. And that, you know, that's a strange thing. You know, again, typically, the Rambam will not say that. He'll just say, you know, Shanemar, let's not say Shanemar. Right? This is his way, because he too, everybody knows. I mean, what the Baal HaTos Tosfos articulated, which is, huh? This is a pasuk about Korban Shavuos Eidos. How do you get from there, you know, to a Chi of Haggadah? Everybody understood that. I mean, the Baal HaTos Tosfos may be the first ones to explicitly say it, but everybody understood that. So everybody's a little uncomfortable. So you can just, you know, bite your tongue or whatever. I mean, you know, again, I'm playing a little bit. But, you know, you can say with the Baal HaTos Tosfos, this is the pshat in the pasuk. We now know, based on the evidence, that this has to be pshat in pasuk, and this is what it is. Or you could say what the Rashba says, which is there is no pasuk, but it's implicit. Right? Or you can, you know, say something like what the Rambam says, you know, mitzuvin, but he doesn't say mitzvah saseh. He also understands it's not that kind of a mitzvah saseh. And, you know, chachamim yeviu raya midivrayim, we'll see that, you know, he also quotes, we might as well just get it on the record for the second, when he talks about when he talks about Losamino Damriacha in what is it? Reish Tzadi Zayin. I think the first time I called it Reish Tzadi Gimel, but that was wrong. It's Reish. The second one I had was right. Or maybe the first one was right. No, I'm sorry. The first one was right. The second one was wrong. Reish Tzadi Zayin. I meant Reish Tzadi Zayin for both. Leah, do you have it?
My computer froze.
What?
My computer just froze.
Ooh. Yeah, that's why. Yeah. You know. Yeah. That's good that it freezes sometimes. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds an awful lot like it has nothing to do with Eden or Shvuasa Edus or anything. So far, is Shanemar? Exactly where you were. You're good. Right, the guy's he's drowning, and you could save him. Go ahead. I mean, even if not putting yourself in danger, but right? Go ahead. Okay. Now here's where the Kvar Amru becomes interesting, because of course the simple pshat of Osama Adam Reyecha is again that it's limited to nefashos.
The Rambam in the beginning says Kishner is kind of some Abbasal Hetzel.
Yeah, because he's getting you ready. I'm saying the simple pshat of the pasuk is that Osama Adam Reyecha is about Hatzolas nefashos, right? That's what it certainly sounds like, Osama Adam Reyecha and the original cases. But as we know, the Sifra makes very prominent Kvisha Seid. Go ahead, Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's so interesting about the Rambam is that he mentions Kvishas Eidos also under the rubric of Lasamar Adam Reyecha, right? Even though it is Mominus, which he prepares you for, and it's based on the Sifra. But he just wants you to know, even then, by the way, you know, I know what you're going to say, you know, I accounted that already in the Essen, right? Under, you know, and here he emphasizes it, Imla Yagin Vinasavo, no. I mean, showing that, because he wants to emphasize that it's also Osama al-Dam Reyecha, if you're just missing the opportunity to do a mitzvah saseh, you know, if you want to emphasize just the vu'ed or ra yada here, you know, it's not so obvious that that overlaps also in Losam. So again, we still have to discuss. I'll make a suggestion or two based on what we Miram is the other day. Well, you know, what does it mean for the Rambam to have both? I'm not sure. I think there are two ways to suggest it. But either, you know, the Rambam has like a very, the pattern is that the Rambam is uneasy, you know, he's struggling, you know, with this phantom pasuk, you know, as the makar for Kvishas Eidos and how it fits in with other things. Okay. Anyways, that's Behue. The Rambam here in the Sanhedrin, at least, is emphasizing Behue, only the Aseh, which I think it works mostly well. What about the Ad Ramah? What's that? He only emphasizes the losas. You have that, Aryeh? Go ahead. A few times. Like, he basically, I don't know if he had a different girsa, or he's just ignoring, or he sees it as just the introduction, but it's the opposite, right? He just de-emphasizes v'hu eid ro yada. Doesn't even mention it. What does he have? I have it if not. Yeah, keep going. It's an interesting kashem. We'll get to it in a second. Go ahead. And so once again, he calls it a lav. He calls it an iser. He calls it a lav. He calls it. And he only emphasizes Imlo Yagid. I think that's the opposite, in a way, of what we saw till now. Okay. Tosaf Bava Kamma, should also note, quotes this sugya in Sanhedrin when he wants to prove that there is a Kiyuv Agada, as do some of the other Rishonim. What is the language of Rashi when he tries to navigate the Aseh Lav? Rashi, like the Rambam, in a way, Arya, you have there? The Rashi and Sanhedrin. Yeah. So what is it? I'm not sure whether he's saying they're both. Is it not saying a lot? To be very shocking, I think.
Like
an assay. What?
It's not clear what he means by Alecha Mutal Choba. I mean, it's that part of the next sentence, or it's its own thing.
It's hard to say. Right. I mean, again, he is trying, but again, he does assume, and I don't know why, maybe because of this girsa here in, you know, because it says Imlo Yagid, you could have said the Imlo Yagid part is totally irrelevant, just for Huay, you know, Ro Yada. So maybe that's what confused, or, so he definitely thinks that the Chova Sagada, which is a Chova, you know, there's definitely, it sounds like there's either it's an Asay in a lab, or it's an Asay which has an Asiyas Chet, you know, component to it. The Rajbats, as we said, has both, an Asay and a lab, who aid and Imlo Yagid. That's an extreme, but one which he also has Va'am Dushnei Anashim, which is fine. The Rambam, as we discussed, has the Chi of Lahayid, it's a Mitzasay. I compared it already to Drisha v'Chakira, how it's different. We talked about Sefer Mitzvos. It's Kol El Nefashos. yeah. And the Rambam, as we said, has the... does the Rambam think this is the real Makar, or maybe he learns, like the Rajba in Bava Kamma, right, that it's implicit in the institution of Karban Shua. Maybe that's what he means, Heviu Chachamim, you know, Raya, you know, or Remez, etc. But either way, the Rambam position is definitely challenging. He quotes, again, the whole Pasuk in Sefer Mitzvos and in Halacha Aleph. In Halacha Beis, he mentions, or he implies, Hayaseh v'Hayaseh, right? When it comes to, again, we talked about this already, he redefines the Gemara on Lamed Amud Beis when it comes to Talmud Chacham, right? On the way, unlike the way the Gemara itself has it, the Rashbats had that as well, right, Eli? And Va'am Dushnei Anashim. And the Chinuch has it also, not with the Va'am Dushnei Anashim, but even more explicitly than the Rambam, the Chinuch says that the reason Talmud Chacham doesn't have to appear in front of a Bezin, which is, you know, Pachos Mimenu, is because Hayasei v'Hayasei, right, Asei, right, the Kavarat Torah, Adiv. So again, he too, Lishitaso, thinks that the mitzvah of Hagadas Eidos is not... The Rambam doesn't say the word Hayasei v'Hayasei. The Rambam does...
For
Isurim, or what? Maybe that's what extends it. But I don't think... But it's still under the rubric of who aid and the whole thing. I think that's just his way of explaining... That I don't think I have two different dinim. I think that's the way to explain why you don't need Toveya. But I'll get back to that. Okay. The smack, just also to round things up, the smack has us formulated as a lav. Anybody see? Get a chance to see it? I gave you to look at it? Yeah? Anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
Should all look for should do so.
Shelo lichbo sheduso, right? And also, very interesting, and this is important, is where did the smak put it? Asher. Where did the smak put it? And why is that important? Or is it important? Or am I putting the words in your mouth? You have to get used to that again, right? Where is it? He ends this halacha, this is our good fortune that he... It's always, whenever you look at the smak, by the way, this is... called Gadol Shabbismak. You always have to look at what how he catalogs it. The smak broke up the mitzvahs. How did he break it up?
By day.
By days. Days of the week. Every day of the week signifies a different category. So when you're looking at the smak, you always want to look at, you know, which day it's under, because that says something about the category. In this particular case, we have the additional benefit of this being the end of Yom HaChamishi and the transition to Yom HaShishi. So even if you weren't generally sensitive to the smak's the classification scheme, you know, and the fact that you should be checking into it, you know, by telling you this is the end of five and, you know, I've kind of cough, hey, you know, we're going to begin a cough. Oh, you say, well, what is that? Like, what's the significance of that? Ah. So what is hakafa hey? Alex?
Either mumen or theonomy. I think shishi is theonomy, I think, and this is mumen.
Exactly. Vav is mitzvos shebemamon, or dinim shebemamon. And hey is mitzvos shebedinim. So it's just very interesting that we end hey with a lav about Adam not coming forward. That's not considered to be mitzvos shebemamon or shebenefashos. That's mitzvos shebedinim.
So we think the fact that he puts it like on the border maybe indicates...
Maybe, that it's like on the border.
But it has to.
Maybe.
Can't.
But it also comes in that order. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But I think that's interesting. Maybe that's hashkachadik. But, you know, I'm not sure if that was... But I do think that the fact that he has it as a lav is important, and the fact that he puts it at the end of Yom Chamishi and not in Yom Shishi is important. Again, it seems to be an Eidos halacha, which I think makes sense. The idea if imlo yagid v'nasav ono, you know, as an onesh, let's say, for this mitzvah saseh, is something which comes across clearly in the Rambam and Kufayim Ches. Anybody have that line? Itan, you have it? Anybody who has open Kufayim Ches? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Right, he's much more explicit about that actually in Sefer Mitzvos than he is in Hilchos Seidos. Right, Hilchos Seidos he talks about L'schus and L'chova, and the implication is that it applies also in Isurim, because number one, Ein Eitz of Ein Tuna, right, Keneged Hashem. The Talmud Chacham thing, but also and also because he mentions Tviya in connection to Momo. But he doesn't say explicitly that it applies to the others, right? Okay, go ahead. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Right. That we talked about just a minute ago, how that's consistent with the other things. Go ahead. Yeah. Again, he didn't have to read it that way. He didn't have to say, even if you think it's implicit in the institution of Korban Shuas Eidos, we'll get to the Rajba in a second, or if you think it's even based on the Pasuk, you could have said it's based on Vuhu Eidos Ro Yada. Doesn't have to be based on Imlo Yagid Ben Asav, or no. Right. So the fact that there's some choice here is important for the Rambam. Even if he felt there was no choice, the Rambam is making a ha'ara, which is, how does this mitzvah saseh get to be, number one, described in negative terms, kvishas, ha'idus, not just ihagada, and number two, like, what do you mean Ben Asav, or no? They don't say, you know, Mishalo Achal Matzon Ben Asav, or no. Mishalo Shama Tkiyas Shofar Ben Asav, or no. Right? So he says it's chomur biyoser. The chinuch following the Rambam in Kuf Chaf Beis. Anybody have that line? Says two things. Number one, under the shoresh hamitzvah, he says, you know, it's yodua lakol to'alto. Anybody have it? God, what's the name, by the way?
Adin.
Adin. Okay. Great. Right. No, it is great in that. Like, obviously, this is a very important theme and principle. It would be nice if he told us what it is. But in the end, right, in the end of the piece, when he gets packed, when he starts quoting the Rambam, not telling you, but he's really quoting the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos, about Nesias Avon, what does he say? In the end. The overall mitzvah zu. No, before that. Right, a little before that, I think. I want to talk about that. I want to mention that too, just for a second. But onsho gadol miod. Go ahead. Yeah. He doesn't say the specific individual, right? And undoubtedly, that's what he meant about the toelis gadolo, which is yodua lakol, meaning edus is a critical linchpin in Jewish community life. Now, he may mean it more pragmatically, or he may mean it more idealistically. That doesn't matter to me at the moment. Meaning, this is an Eidos Halacha. It's supporting the system, the Bezin system. When it comes to the Arba Tzricha Nachraza, which we'll talk about, what are Arba Tzricha Nachraza, by the way? The parshas that we've been reading in the last couple of weeks, right? Arba Tzricha Nachraza, Yossi? Ben Zorim Moran, yeah. And Mesis. The parshios in the Torah, when it speaks about these four, mentions something like, roughly, or something very similar. Right? And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and the Petes, that Arba Tzricha Nachraza, and it mentions these four. Okay. So, Mesis, why each four? The Ramban al Torah weighs in, the Radvaz says something very similar. I've said in the past something a little bit different that I think is beruach, what they say, but is in a slightly different version. The Ramban emphasizes Arba Tzricha Nachraza in terms of the deterrent value, right? You've got to, publicize this so people know for two reasons, basically. Number one, because people think it's out of whack. They think it's unfair. The Mesis, right, he just, didn't succeed. He's a terrible person, but, he didn't accomplish his goal necessarily, and his onus is every bit as severe even if he didn't accomplish his goal, right? The Zaken Mamre looks like he's a sincere man, working on the basis of his conscience and his convictions, and he's a Talmid Chacham, right? The Ben Sora Morer, he's like a Katan, right? Nidon Al Shem Sofa. And what about the Ein Zomein? Right? So the Ramban says also, what a terrible thing that he did, and so on. Again, the Ramban has a combination there of explaining the system and why it's, people should know because it's out of whack, and also they should know that there's a deterrent element, to all of this. I think that one could add that the Rishus HaGavra in all these cases is the Mechayim, right? Nidan Al Shem Sofo and the Zokei Mamre, who looks like a man of conscience, but in fact is breaking the rules of the system that he supposedly is so deeply committed to uphold, right? Yeah, the methodology of the system tells you, what to do. Ki Pali Mimcha Davar Ben Dam. That's a bigger topic. So he might look superficially, the most dangerous people are the people who look like they are, men of principle, but whose selfishness and ego, does not stem from their commitment to the system, but they end up, whether they know it or not, exploiting the system for their own, ego or their own, whatever it is. How does Adam Zomim fit in? Mesis Rishus Agavra, okay. Whether he succeeds or not. Ben Sora Mora, the Zaken Mamre. What about the Ein Zomim? Right? That is trickier. So the Chinuch has a line in which he's, do you have it? Oh, in which he says, because the role of Eidos is such in the Jewish court system that, kind of exploiting it or abusing it, right, is such an affront that it's called Yisrael Yishma V'yira V'lo Yizidu No. So that's consistent with the Chinuch here. Either way, that's the Rambam and the Chinuch. The Shiltos, as we had discussed already, says Nefesh Ki Secheta. For him, the Mokar is not the Hued Oro Yada, and it's not Im Lo Yagid B'nasa Avono. It's Nefesh Ki Secheta. But again, the idea that this person is a chote, and that's what you mean by secheta, is something way beyond what we would have anticipated would be the description of somebody who doesn't do his civil duty or civic duty, to testify in court. Okay. In any case, this is what's there from the Lashonos and from the Nisuchim of many of the Rishonos. Agav, you mentioned that the... Okay, we'll leave it at that. It remains to be discussed how, for the Rambam, again, these two makoros fit in, or how for the Shiltos, two makoros fit in. I'm going to hold off on that just a second. I mean, for the Rambam, in Sefer HaMitzvos, right, Kedishas Edus also signifies a lav of Lo Samro Dam Re'acha, even as he, again, I think it's interesting, doesn't want you to forget what he says about the Aseh. And even in the Aseh, he wants you to understand that it's not such a firm makar. What's interesting, though, is that in Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam omitted Kedishas Edus from Lo Samro Dam Re'acha. Correct? I gave you a look at the Rambam Nukhazot Seach. Okay, so what's important there is Israel?
You build an ally at the end, like other things like this.
So yeah. Open. Okay. I mean, but other things like this could mean many things, and it isn't so. Who? What's the list there? I mean, basically, I wanted you to see that for the omission. Right? Ariel? You have it?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Hichosot Zayach? It's interesting that the Rambam is less tentative about the Makar in Yad HaChazaka. Right? Yeah. He's less, and that he doesn't have the double Makar in Yad HaChazaka. Yeah, are there any non-Hatzalas Nefashas cases? Yeah?
It could be the context is Hilchos of Seach, so it could be he's isolating just the Hatzalas Nefashas elements.
Could be. I'm saying the point is that the Rambam, it's not so clear that the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, in Chosrot Seach at least, is operating with the Sifra. And he certainly isn't emphasizing, which is what, again, in Sefer Mitzvah, he's talking about Samad Avarecha. The Pashtus and the most acute cases are obviously the Hatzolos and Pashtus cases. There he puts tremendous emphasis on Kedisha Seidus, quoting the Sifra and saying, but don't forget, and so on. Just a very different emphasis. Yeah.
Also, Kedisha Seidus, Avni Pashtus,
would fit. Might. Or you might say that that's it, maybe it only in Kvitsa Seidus. Maybe. But maybe that's not even close enough. Maybe it's too Rama-esque. Right. Just to note that there's a difference. Yeah.
Also, he leaves out the Sifra list a case of, which not Eidus, but still you're stopping Nezek Mamon.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Correct. I'm saying he has only the, again, it could be because of the context, but then why did he put it in that context also? So, and again, Sifra Mitzvahs is also a context. Either way, these are things to think about. We'll get back to the Rambam and the Shiltos on what do you call it, in just a couple of minutes. It is a Kiddush that Lo Samro Dam Re'acha would apply in Sifra, and the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, non-Mamonos case. In the Pashtus, I mean, you would think that Lo Samro Dam Re'acha means more. More is at stake. So is that the point, or is it that he's just much more comfortable already at the time of Yad HaChazaka, with the other makar? Hard to say. The Shiltos, as we noted, has both. The Shiltos has Kisechata, but again, Kisechata, for the Shiltos, it might be easy to say, that Kisechata is an indication. Nefesh Kisechata, right? V'shama kol Allah. Sechata means chohu. Where's his chet? Right. Instead of saying, oh, nefesh kisechta, i.e., as we will explain, you know, either v'shama kol Allah, you know, or lo yagid without v'shama kol Allah. No, he's saying he's a chote. He didn't take the opportunity, right, to accomplish the mitzvah of Haggadas of Eidos. But right. So then he goes on to say, who has a language in front of them, the Shiltos? Almost seamlessly, he doesn't say, oh, there's also another makar, or you also overlappingly violate. Yeah? Yeah. So, meaning, it sounds like maybe that's the real makar. So what he's trying to say is that the makar is losamod, and kisachata is a gili milsa, because you wouldn't have thought necessarily that losamod could apply to anything other than nodine nefashos, right? Or maybe that it wouldn't apply to something which is as, you know, indirect, let's say, as Haggadah Seidos, or that maybe, you know, you might have your own personal discretion to decide if you want to get involved with a Riv Lolo or Kavod Atzmo, and so on, right? So the Kisachata is a Gilui Milsa, that this too comes under the rubric of Losam al Adam Riacha. But the idea, again, that this is called Losam al Adam Riacha, you know, certainly puts it in a certain context, but makes it, you know, the expectation of participating severe, but more general. Again, the Netziv was tempted to say, we'll talk more about the Netziv, that maybe there's just a difference between Mammon and Isser. But you can't say that for the Shilpas. As for the Rambam, is the Rambam saying that there are two different dinim? He's just reminding you, you know, about one, I'm talking about Netziv for Mitzvah, so about one or the other. Or is the Rambam saying that if there wasn't a mitzvah saseh of Haggadah Seidus, then in Achanami, Kvisha Seidus would not be Lo Samar al Dam Reyacha either. And this goes to the point that Shmuel referred to the other day of something I've said in the past, which is something I said also today, which is that sometimes there is a fine line. If you look at, you know, structurally at a particular mitzvah or aveira, if you look at it just narrowly, you know, maybe it looks like a sheva al tasa, or maybe it looks, you know, like a grama. Maybe it looks like an etza tova, or a more kal, you know, kind of a chiyuv, and therefore it, you know, is on the books and has impact, but limited impact. However, in some cases, the greater urgency or the greater reliance upon a person's obligation, right, turns a sheval tasa legally into the equivalent, you know, of a kumbase. The greater reliance or expectation, or the greater urgency. Again, I always give the, there are many examples. It's what I call the interface between, let's say, things like Yoredeya and Choshev Mishpat. But, you know, we have it in numerous cases. I would like to give the example of the Rambam Poshea Kimazik, where the Rambam basically says that a Shomer Chinam is Chayev for Poshea, that's Chiv Shmira. He talks about it in Hilchos Schirus, Perik Beis Halacha Gimel. And he explains that, you know, Poshea, it's not just a lower level of Chiv Shmira, it's a different category entirely. It's Poshea Kimazik. So they write it in his way, and the Achronim in their way, you know, all ask, well, it isn't true, right? If it really was Poshe, and the Rama has Nafkamina, the Rama says that's why Yavadim, Shtaris, Karkoz, they ask, if it was really true that Poshe was Kamazik, ask the Raivin, there should be no Ptur of Balavimo. The Achronim ask, it's Grama Bialma, that it doesn't fit the bill of a typical Hezek. So according to the rules of Nezek, it falls short, and you should be potter. But the answer is that when somebody's mekabel shmira, even as a shomer chinam, the reliance that other person, is my answer, places in that person the anticipation that your object is secure, right, is such that when he, you know, neglects it, it's like a kumbase hezek. In that case, it's the because he's responsible, his negligence isn't Sheval Tasa anymore, has the din of a kumbase. We find this, I think, a lot in the world of halacha. The chiyuv tzedakah, according to the Rambam, makes somebody almost like a, you know, a balchov. right? Because Torah so much demands that you have this responsibility that it's not, oh, you just neglect it. The guy can make demands on you. He can demand that you support him. You know, niskei shkeinim, you know, is a din in hilchos shkeinim. In other words, if you have obligations towards your neighbor for tznius reasons, for kol yisrael areivim zelazer reasons, etc., then living too close and kind of violating his privacy isn't just like, you know, not a nice thing to do. It's really called a nezek. The expectation that you will treat him in a certain way, that he's your neighbor, and therefore there's a certain integrity that is implied by that, turns the abuse of it, right, into a kumbasa, into a nezek. So what I'm suggesting is something similar here. If the chovas haggadah, right, is just an asei bialma, an opportunity, a squandered opportunity, then it's one thing. But if it's an opportunity, you know, with nesias avon, right, which people rely on, which the system relies on, even if it remains only a mitzasei, because structurally that's what it is, then, you know, in certain contexts, that can even be a violation of losamad al dam riachim. Maybe. That's what he means by maybe, by putting the two together. Okay. Let's move on to the Gemara in Bava Kamma for a minute, which was an equally important makar, and again, equally fruitful in terms of further analyzing it. Moshe. So what's the Gemara in Bava Kamma? Oh, before, I'm sorry. One more minute on Sanhedrin. There's an interesting, it has nothing to do with this, there's an interesting point just to make in the continuation of the language of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah basically says, right, Mamlanu Latzor Azos, and then they quote, Ueid Oro Yonanso. But then the Mishnah has a second stab at it. Right, Alex, what's the language? Shema Tomar or something that the guy will say. Go ahead.
Shema Tomar, Mamlanu Lachu, Kibbutamu Shalzeh, the look for Damar. And then the response is, Belo Bardamar, Belo Bershanger.
Yeah. So what is the second, effort, let's say, you know, to extricate yourself from this messy situation? So Rashi, what's Rashi saying?
Rashi says,
Noachlo, or something, Lavor.
Veshem Tomer, Malan Lachu. Leo's misguiding me dumb of Shelzeh, Noch Len Lamos being Loyagi.
Yeah. So this is a phenomenon that we find in many, many places. Again, it's particularly relevant for the issue of tshuva, I might add. Is there such a phenomenon? I mean, is there such a notion in halacha that a person could say, okay, I will absorb the onesh, you know, I have bechira chavshis, and I can, you know, I prefer to have on my record a violation of Imla Yagid or Vuhuaid, you know, rather than have to deal with, you know, the potential consequences of having sent this person, you know, to his death. You say, I'm willing to take my onesh min hashamayim, or my onesh bnei adam and min hashamayim, etc. Is a such a thing. We find Rashi speaks about this in his Perush Al Torah in a number of cases. You know, people shouldn't think that you can absorb the onesh. Kamash Malon. So maybe Lashitasa here, that's what he's saying as well. And we find it in a number of different places. I said Menchas Chinuch discusses this he talks about the Mitzvah Saseh of Tshuva. He wants to know, you know, according to the Rambam, the Rambam emphasizes Vidui rather than Tshuva. It's a big, big topic, what the Rambam really, really means. We're not going to go into that right now. But Menchas Chinuch at one point says, maybe the Pshat is that there's no Mitzvah of Tshuva, right? Tshuva is a choice. If you do tshuva, right, the mitzvah is vidui. But in Achanami, if you decide you don't want to do tshuva, that's your bechira. I think I mentioned in the past that the Rav Zatzal, you know, thought it was not correct, but it was more than that. He like found it very offensive, this idea that a person could say, there's an opportunity of tshuva, and I've decided, to pass that one up. He just thought there can't be such a position, can't be such a posture. So it's very interesting. We find this in a lot of cases. In a way, it borders a little bit on the question of, you know, Avera, you know, Lishma, a little bit, although usually in a case where there's greater benefit, I guess. So some achronim, including Mishas Avram that I mentioned on Sefer Hasidim, he like was very offended by this, like taking a very strong ish halacha, I guess, you know, kind of an approach. Meaning, what do you mean? If the Torah says that you're supposed to step forward and give edus, even if that will send somebody to his death, what do you mean? What do you mean you're going to say, you know, I'm willing to absorb you? It's not up to you to do that. But that's, again, that's not, it's a very interesting and a very important, you know, for, as a religious, you know, phenomenon issue, religious phenomenology issue, a very interesting question, right? There is Bechira Chavshis, there is Schar Va'onesh, right? To what extent can an individual, you know, make this kind of a determination that he'll, you know, absorb the consequences because of some other factor? It might be that it depends on what that factor is. Maybe there's a difference between Essen and Laban, between, you know, it depends what the value that he's fighting for is. I mean, according to Rashi here, what he's fighting for is, you know, a halachic value too, right? To call him Abed Nefesh Achas B'Yisrael, Kilu Kiyim Olam Mole. So it's not like, you know, some secular value, or no. What the Mishnah Brahma is saying is, well, but the Rabbonu Shalom who wrote those rules is telling you in this particular case that that's not what you should be doing. So it's a very fascinating question, just to bring it to your attention. But according to the Yad Ramah, I think in a way the Yad Ramah, I don't know if this motivated him, the Yad Ramah is kind of addressing this issue. Right? For the Yad Ramah is saying it's not that there's a mitzaseh that's koveya. What he's really saying is, there are two lavin, and maybe the lav, where the ramah, who has the ramah open? Where the ramah formulates is, the lav of, objectively, the lav of im lo yagid v'nasa vono, you have it? Yeah, he's saying, he's not saying what Rashi says. You know, noach lo lav, or because of his conscience, or his, he's a machmirin. He's saying, I think that two lav in here, and this is a lav chomor, and that's a lav hakal. And then the answer is, kashem, by the way, which is also interesting, kashem, that there's a din of being mekayim nefesh achas miYisrael, there's also the kashem, kashem is that if he's a Russia, that you should delight in his perishing. So there's no two lavin to measure. But according to the Ramah, the Havamina, it wasn't even an asein olav, or about which you might be able to say, ase dochalos ase, or they're measured in different ways. You know, it's two lavin, and there's a kal and a chomer. That's all it was. It's interesting, there's another view in the... Yeah, go ahead.
The next Rashi, where it says, velo pranem or velo drishan rina, in Rashi, in kan onesh, it seems like the person's afraid that there's actually an onesh. It's not just comparing which one would be more known.
Or maybe is the onesh because he's worried about that onesh? But I mean, that's harder to explain in a havamina, you know, if the Torah tells him to do it. Or is he saying there's no onesh, so there's not even a value. There's not even something to, in that sense, like the Ramah, meaning that, like, what, this is a totally non, it's not even like a rival of the, you know, I'm not sure. I hear. I'm just saying that in the Ramah, even if that's already even in the question, and the answer is just sharper. Some achronim suggest, some of the rishonim say that the problem is libo nokvo, that the problem is that the edim in question, you know, are second-guessing themselves. It's not they're saying, noach lanu lavor. They're saying, you know, maybe we didn't see it exactly right. Maybe, you know, maybe our imagination got the best of it. We'll talk about bididami in general, you know, whether that's ever really a consideration in Eidos, right, a person's fantasies and so on, his accuracy. So in libo nokvo, what he's really saying, he's not saying, you know, I know that there's an assay, that it's supposed to be done even in this situation, but I don't want this, I can't sleep at night. Or I don't like this guy, or I'm a machmir even beyond that in mekayim nefesh. How's he saying? Who knows? So that's also an interesting. Again, Mishnah Avraham on that. It says, is that true? I mean, if it's serious libo nokvo, then he shouldn't be made to begin with. It has nothing to do with everything else. And if it's not, then it's not. I do think there's something in between. Just as we know, there's something. You know, there's a regular rove, and there's a regular chazaka, and then there are, in certain cases, there's a din of shmira, and you require more than a regular rove. So the idea of, you know, libo nokvo, of requiring a higher standard of certainty, you know, even though you have a sufficient threshold normally to proceed, is I think an interesting question. He himself suggests that with the Gemara, with the Mishnah, the way to read the Mishnah is totally different. What the Mishnah is saying is, when it comes to Dine Mamonis, if there is no Eidos, then there's no justice. But the Gemara here in Sanhedrin and elsewhere in Chazal always tell us that when it comes to Dine Nefashos, right, there's a certain level of Hashkacha that, you know, one way or another, Elokim ina li yado. So what we're saying is, you know, so maybe you might think, you know, well, since it's Dine Nefashos, so it'll all be good. You know, like the way the Ramban explains Kasher Zamam below Kasher Asa. You know, that Hashkacha. So that's an interesting other facet in how to read this Gemara. Okay. Now for Bava Kamma. Let's start. I know we're running out of time. We'll try to finish with all most of this Thursday. But I start already looking at, you know, after these Makaros, on the issue of Mipi Acherim. So I would look at the Mishnah and the Shaklavatari on Chav Tesla Medbeis in Shavuos, and the Shaklavatari on Lamed Aleph Medbeis, Badun Mina Abduk Muki Biatra. That's first the one in Shavuos Bitui, then the one in the relationship between Shavuos Eich and Shavuos HaPikadon, and the Mishnah is in the beginning of Shavuos HaPikadon, and I'll give you more on Thursday. But already start looking. What is the definition technically of Mipi Acherim, and what is its status? Obviously, that's very relevant to the relationship between Shavuos and Shavuos Eidos. It's also very relevant to the relationship between Chavos HaGadah and Korban Shavuos Eidos, especially for the Rajba, as we'll discuss. Okay, so let's take another minute just before we daven Mincha. Yeah, who is reading Bava Kamma? Did we ask to read Bava Kamma? Ah, Moshe, go ahead. Yeah.
So when we start with the days, or I'm going to...
Well, yeah, the Amud Beis just has the case, four cases. Let me read it for you very quickly.
Okay, so Tanya, Amar Yeshua Bar Zarma, Osan Patim, Yeni Adu, Chayb Nei Shuvayim, Eilehen, Apori Tkedev, Nei Behemas Chavero, Ba'kovi Kamasa Shal Chavero, Pnei Hasliga, Ba'sokar Edi Shaker Lahay, Ba'yodei Edi Tzlo Chavero, Ve'enu Me'ed La.
Yeah. So all these are what context, Moshe?
Talking about Grama.
Grama, Garmi, Chiyuv, basically Chiyuv to this individual. If you were to just look at the Gemara Bava Kamma, right, then you would get the impression... Right, that unlike Sanhedrin, which is, seems to be about Bezdin, right, like the Smack said, right, this is about this is about Bava Kamma, this is about Nezek, this is about the Baldavar who's affected by your Din Torah. That is the context. The question is that, you know, is it just a coincidence and that isn't really the Mechayev? Or, since the Gemara in a second, we're going to read it, is mechalek between, says something about two Edom and one Ed, maybe that's true about Ein Echad, but Shnayim Edom is a whole different story. Yeah, keep, so read the Gemara.
Go ahead.
Now here it's the language of the Gemara, is dafka imel yagev v'nasa avono, not v'hu edo ra yada, which is interesting. Although again, it's in a context of grama and hefsed, right, if that's what the Gemara is saying. But go ahead.
So, Ella Bechad.
Yeah. So, so what do we make of this? So, partially the question is, we're going to stop here, is, but just let's frame the question. Does this Gemara really establish more of a hefsed mamon to the Baldavar perspective? Number one, does that put pressure on Chiyuv Agada, which is not helping anybody, but hurting only? Or, and, what about Isurim? Right? If the focus is really Hatzalas Mamon, Nezek, in other words, so, well, you could say Isurim is Kal V'Chomer, but certainly in Babod Rishayim Rina, right, it's not such a Davar Pasha. So, partially, this question also revolves around the relationship between the two and the one. The Gemara says the two are based on the Pasuk, and the one... Right is in the Braisa of Chai B'dinei Shamayim. Are two also only Chai B'dinei Shamayim, or are they Chai B'dinei Adam? Between
Rashi and most of the Rishonim versus Rabbeinu Yerucham.
Say again.
Rabbeinu Yerucham.
Most of the Rishonim against Rabbeinu Yerucham, and seemingly also like the Shulchan Giborim. Right, if there is a chi of mamon, that is a very important element. Now, then the way to read the Gemara is, this isn't only a din in Chiyu Bidei Shamayim, it's a tinat chiyuv bidei Adam. But at least it also seems to firmly put it in Hilchos Kemah. Right? Most Rishonim of the opinion that even though the Gemara quotes Chai B'dinei Shamayim by Nechad, that what they're really saying is that Chiyuv B'dei Shamayim is even more obvious, right? In the case of Teyed. Who says that? Rashi, right? The Meiri, the Ramban, you know, in Kudristina de Garmi, etc. Ad Kedei Kach, that some of the Rishonim, like the Ramban, though, and this is like maybe an echo, what did Ramban do in Kudristina de Garmi? What? Yeah, that's how he ends up. But what bothered him was, why is this only Bidei Shamayim? Why isn't there a Chiyuv Bidei Adam based on Garmi? Right? And then he goes on to discuss, you know, what exactly it is. So the whole discussion of the Ramban, in a way, highlights the Rabbeinu Yerucham Shilti Giborim perspective that this is Nezek and Hefzed, even though he's trying to explain why it isn't. The question is in his answer, which ends up being, the Ramban is the one who invokes the Gemilas Chasadim idea. Is Gemilas Chasadim in this context just kind of like a watered down, you know, it's Gemilas Chasadim because it isn't enough to mafsid mamon, but it's a chiyuv still klape that fellow? Or does he think it's like really Gemilas Chasadim, like it's an act of tzedakah picking up an aveda? That seems to be two deos, right, in the Ramban. Like how far do you go with this? Because Ramban really discusses two cases. One is why a kovesh eduso is not chayiv bidei adam. What else does he discuss? Where he's much more of an open question in the continuation. Josh? Let's say you prevent edim who want to testify, right? Are you then involved in grum? Or is it no different than just stopping somebody from giving a gift? Right? Those are two days in the Ramban. So in a way, the question whether the Adam themselves or somebody who prevents them, whether there's a difference between them, seems to be how far do we push this idea of Gemilus Chasad. So I want to do on Thursday, try to finish up as much as possible. We may still have a few lingering issues, but try to get, you know, as much as we can, is try to discuss this question. Are you chayiv b'dinei adam? If not, why not? Again, what are the parameters of Gemilas Chasadim here? And what is the relationship for the various Rishonim between Shnayim Edim and Eid Echad? That's very important. That's one. Number two, what about Eid Echad in some other cases? In other words, whatever the status of Eid Echad is, what about Eid Echad in the case where we say mitok shei nechal l'shamah v'shalem, where Eid Echad will produce mamon, in other words, what about Eid Echad betuma, b'misa sabal, etc.? What about Eid Echad puzzle in those cases? Nashim. These are all issues that are discussed, especially by the Achronim, by the Mishnah Melech, by Rabbi Kiveger and Atshuva, by the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch has a good representation of it, hopefully you've seen. But they go to the core of the question, do you need chalos edus for chovas haggadah, or just effect on the case is sufficient? There's a double question, as I mentioned the other day. One is to figure out in these cases that we're not going to do, we're just going to talk about very quickly, but we'll talk more about it in, both for Korban Shvuas Eidus and Chovas Haggadah, what is Nemanus and what is Eidus? That's question number one. Question number two, once we pin that down a little bit, right, what is Koveya, the criterion for Chovas Haggadah? Does it have to be formally Eidus, or can it be anything that is Mashpia on the psak din, on the money, or whatever, right? So that's what we want to talk about in this context of Bava Kamma, and then we still have to speak about the Rambam's Mipia Toveya, and a little bit more about the difference between Mamon and Isur, and whether or not Tvias Bezdin matters, the same Rachinuch, some of the other loose ends, and then we'll move on to Shuras Ha'etz Mipia Heir. We'll talk about the Rajbar.